So, welcome everybody. We will make a start as soon as we can find some missing people, particularly the GNSO chair. But in the meantime, if you can help yourself to some food, and then we'll get started as soon as we can.
Hi everyone, sorry I'm a few minutes late. I did rush over here. In fact, I was wolfing down some lunch. I hadn't realized we were having lunch, even though it's a tradition. Maybe I'll get some dessert. Can you give me 1 minute and I'll get a drink and some dessert, and then providing we're waiting for some others, are we? Do you think we should just crack on? Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, it's July 15th. This is the joint GNSO Council meeting, Hall 4D.
Okay, so we are going to make a start, and I can see some new faces around the table. Maybe a good place to start would be to introduce who you are and where you're from. And I'm going to start just to give us some warning with Youngham and work my way around from there. So welcome, everybody. Youngham, would you like to start, and then we'll work our way around the table.
Sokola Gjiu, CGNSO councillor from Albania.
Nuno Garcia from NTUC, in as a temporary alternate for Maria Farrell.
Volker Kleimann, GNSO councillor, registrar stakeholder group.
Becky Burr, CCNSO Councillor.us.
Pat Linford, NSO Councillor, IPC.
Cheryl Langdon-Orr, ALAC Liaison to the CCNSO Council and .au.
Alan Greenberg, ALAC Liaison to the GNSO.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff and GNSO team leader.
By Postwinkle, ICANN staff and CCNSO.
Byron Holland, CEO of .ca.
Mr. Carroll, you're CEO of Nominet, and last meeting as CTNSO chair.
Jonathan Robinson, Registry Stakeholder Group Councillor and Chair of the GNSO Council.
Mason Cole, Registrar Stakeholder Group and Vice Chair of the GNSO Council.
Wolfwood Knowen, ISP constituency on the GNSO Council and Vice Chair of the Council.
David Cake, GNSO's Councillor for the Non Commercial Stakeholder Group.
Rudolf Meijer, CCNSO Council and CEO of .nl.
Osvaldo Novoa, GNSO Council, ISPCP.
I'm Victor Abud, CEO of .ec and CCNSO Councillor.
Good afternoon, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Costa Rica. I'm a GNSO temporary alternate for Wendy Seltzer.
Magali Pazello, GNSO Councillor for a non-commercial stakeholder group.
Dimigechko, CCNSO.br.
Joy Ledicote, GNSO Councillor for the non-commercial stakeholder group and also until the 31st of July, Chair of the Regulator in .nz.
Hiro Hota, CCNSO Councillor, .jp.
My name is John Berard. I'm a GNSO councillor from the Commercial and Business Users constituency and serve as its liaison to the CCNSO Council.
Okay, so thank you, everybody. So the GNSO and the CCNSO councils have met over a number of years now, and what we thought might be a useful way to approach this meeting is to firstly give some thought as to where we are similar and where we are different. And we have asked the Secretariat to help us with that task. They support us both extremely well, I'm sure, and know us extremely well too. And as they are presenting, we'd like you to start to think about how we might work more together, where we more naturally fit together, and also if you're a veteran of some of these lunches over the years, what has worked well for you, what maybe hasn't worked quite so well, and how can we use that to define how we might engage going forward. But to start with, let me hand over to Marika and to Tabak.
Good afternoon. I will use my soothing voice to put you really to sleep over the lunch. I can use, as some of the CCNSO members know, I have another voice as well, which I won't use this afternoon. To get started, Marika and I looked at, say, some of, as Leslie said, some of the contrasts and similarities of the GNSO and CCNSO. And we started first looking at the councillors and how they function and operate and what their role is, in particularly with regard to PDPs, etc. But we soon found out that, say, the real difference and why there is probably a difference in expectations around this meeting, but also in the broader context of what the GNSO can expect from the CCNSO and the CCNSO Council, and the other way around, what the CCNSO can expect from the GNSO Council and the different constituencies, is mainly due to probably unfamiliarity with each other. What a word. So we looked at, say, where we started is, in fact, looking at different dimensions of the GNSO and CCNSO. It is, in fact, putting the council and its functions in the context in which they operate. And although you will see at some of the slides they look similar, if you drill down a little bit more, you'll see there are huge differences. And I think the first one is on the scope of activities.
Marika, you want to take over?
Sure.
think I just... Oh, there we go. It's back again. I already thought I broke the computer.
That's
the
starting point.
So we basically started looking first, what is the scope of the activities of our respective supporting organizations. So for the GNSO, and this is basically its mandate under the bylaws, it's responsible for developing and recommending to the ICANN board substantive policies related to generic top-level domains. So basically very broad mandate. This can be done through a PDP, as you have as well. We have our own version of the PDP. That, again, there's some similarities, but also some substantial differences. But it may also be done in other ways of developing input and advice as requested by the board or on topics where we feel it's important, as long as those relate to the GTLD-related issues. And the GNSO as a whole as well, an important platform to exchange views between the different stakeholders, because I think, as we'll see in some of the other slides, the very different views and perspectives and backgrounds within the GNSO, as concretely we have basically one set contracted parties, those entities that have contracts with ICANN, and then non-contracted parties that have either a stake or an interest in GTLD-related issues.
If you look at the CCNSO, and we've put them now in more or less in order of priority of the role of the CCNSO as a whole, it's first and foremost a platform of exchange of information and to share experiences. Again, first of all, internally, that means across the CCTLD community itself, and then externally with other SOs and ACs and ICANN as an organization. It's there to develop best practices, and best practices is more sharing what worked in one CCTLD and what works in and where the others can learn than documenting really best practices, although in some cases we've done so, and there are some examples. And, excuse me, and say part of it is as part of the whole set of interactions, we develop some guidelines, etc., for interaction between that have been developed between the CCs, TLDs, and ICANN itself. So I'm referring here to what is probably known as the Accountability Framework Program. So that's the documentation of the relationship between CCTLDs and ICANN, and also guidelines on the financial contribution for individual CCTLDs to ICANN. What is important to know, the CCNSO does not step into that relation. It sets guidelines for both ICANN and the CCTLDs in order to have a point of reference. And finally, and probably in some respect, that is the policy-related activities, and I think now we touch upon one of the major, major differences between the CCNSO and the GNSO is policy development. Although there is an extensive set of rules, etc., in the ICANN bylaws, the CCNSO has completed one PDP that was in its early days, and that was on changing the bylaws. And we now still have the second PDP, which is hopefully will be concluded in a couple of months, but then it's been running for 6 years. And these are the only two. I can put it in another way. The CCNSO tries to avoid using that method and has developed alternatives for PDPs. And so they've taken the freedom, etc., and agreed upon a set of rules and guidelines for itself to develop alternative methodologies. And that resulted, for instance, in work on the interpretation of existing policies. And one of the more well-known ones probably in this forum is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. This is on the interpretation of the redelegation policy for the CCTLDs, RSC 1591, which dates back to 1994, and it was deliberately done to avoid the policy development process.
So then looking at the scope of the policy, so as I said, you know, in the GNSO a lot of policy development activities take place. I think we currently have 4 or 5 PDPs that are ongoing simultaneously, and it really raises substantive policies related to GTLDs. Basically, the process for running PDPs is described in Annex A of the ICANN bylaws, and we also have a PDP manual that's part of the GNSO operating procedures that describes all the steps that need to be respected and taken. And I think it's also important, I think here the difference where you see is that the scope of the policies is not outlined in the bylaws, which I think is the case for the CCNSO, where it's described what you can actually do or not do within policy development. I think it's important to talk a little about the concept of consensus policies, because I think the way the GNSO uses policy development in certain instances is to develop consensus policies, and those are policies that are become contractually binding on ICANN's contracted parties, so on registries and registrars, if they followed appropriate process and are ratified by the ICANN board. Again, there are, of course, for those policies there is a restriction or there is a limited number of topics that can be run under consensus policies, but those are actually defined in the agreements that ICANN has with its registries and registrars. There are some similarities between the two as well, some differences, and sometimes you may hear that referred to as being the picket fence. So the picket fence are those topics for which it's within the GNSO's remit to develop consensus policy using the policy development process and meeting all the criteria that are outlined there before it will actually become contractually binding on those parties. So some of the topics that are included in the picket fence are principles for the allocation of registered names, resolution of disputes, and also access to contact information or who is related to issues. I think just looking at those lists of items probably already gives you an idea that there's a really broad scope what can fall under those topics, even though, as said, there are some limitations as to what can be developed under the consensus policy model.
In the case of the CCNSO, as I said, the CCNSO has only run 2 PDPs, and one was on the bylaws, and partly that is due to the very, very, very limited scope for policies in the CCNSO. To put it the other way around, all policies relating to the registration, and that includes who is, etc., are excluded of the mandate of the CCNSO. These, for CCTLDs at least, these are all done locally. The CCNSO does not have a remit in that regard. So this is probably one of the reasons why you see hardly any reaction from the CCNSO on requests to participate in policy development processes of the GNSO, because they all relate to the registration policies in one way or the other. And the CCNSO, that is out of bounds of the CCNSO, that is individual CCTLDs who have the experience, who run their own policy development process in that area. Some of them are very extensive.
So then looking at the structure of the two councils and supporting organizations as a whole. So the council itself consists of 21 councillors. 3 of those come from the registry stakeholder group, 3 of those come from the registrar stakeholder group, 6 of those come from the commercial stakeholder group, 6 of those come from the non-commercial stakeholder group, and then there are also 3 NOMCOM appointees. All those council members are divided into 2 houses, as mentioned before. So one is the contracted party house, which houses the registries and the registrars, and then the non-contracted party house, which has the commercial stakeholder group and the the commercial and the non-commercial stakeholder groups. So within those groups, then, you have as well, again, certain groups have constituencies or interest groups. So we have the 4 stakeholder groups, as mentioned, 2 per each house. And within those, then, you have, again, some